Now, just a very brief review. We have seen three of the proofs that Paul presents of his God-given apostleship, his appointment by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Galatians 1:13, he says, "You know, everybody knew, how I persecuted the church of God and laid it waste." He was the great persecutor of the church. How could he have gotten his message from the 12? He was the one they feared and hid from. Then he says, "I prospered in the Jews' religion above many mine equals." He had gone far. He was already, as a young man, a Pharisee. Came from a line of Pharisees. A great man in Judaism. Why should he leave that and become a disciple of the despised Jesus, unless what he said about his conversion and apostleship were true? And third, the reason he prospered in the Jews' religion was not because he was more zealous of the word of God. Oh, no. He was in with the establishment. He says, "I was more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Now, in verses 15 and 16, he goes on to say, "But when it pleased God, who separated me," or set me apart, "from my mother's womb," that is, from my very birth, "and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." I'm going to stop right there. You see, the appointment of Paul as an apostle was no makeshift arrangement. It was not an afterthought on God's part. It was not as though God said to himself, "Now, they've rejected my son. They won't accept him as king. They won't accept his kingdom. Now what shall I do? Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll postpone the kingdom and I'll choose another apostle to preach grace." Oh, no, no. He said, "I was set apart for this from my very birth." Every step in his life led up to this. Every step in his life prepared him for this great ministry that God was to give him. But what does he mean when he says, "It pleased God to reveal his son in me"? Well, now I want you to listen very carefully. The title of the last great book of the Bible is The Revelation, not of St. John the Divine. Men put that in. It's found in the very first words of the book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Now, it's not difficult to understand why God gave it this title. For our Lord's second coming to earth, his revelation in glory, is the very theme of the book of Revelation. It shows him coming to judge and make war and put down the world's rebellion and take the throne in majesty and power to reign as king over Israel and the world. This is what Peter referred to when he told the believing Jews of his day, "Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's 1 Peter 1:13. Now, we mustn't forget that Peter has been sent forth with the gospel of the kingdom. That's what it says again and again in the so-called gospel records, the four records of our Lord's earthly ministry. Now, he had been told that his were to be the keys of the kingdom. Christ gave him the keys of the kingdom. And he had been promised a throne in the kingdom. He was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He had been given the keys of the kingdom. And he was promised a throne in the kingdom. All found in Matthew chapters 10, 16, and 19. Now, Peter was among those who said to the Lord after his resurrection, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts 1:6. Now, the Lord simply answered, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons in regard to these things. For the postponement of the kingdom was still a mystery, a secret, later to be revealed through Paul, that other apostle. So it's no wonder that Peter continued to look for the return of Christ in glory, and that he wrote to the believing Jews of his day, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end, for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But Paul uses this significant phrase too. He says in Galatians 1:11 and 12, as we've read, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That same phrase. Now surely this is not the same revelation of Jesus Christ to judge and make war and to set up his kingdom on earth. This isn't the revelation of Jesus Christ in glory. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ in grace. It's not the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world in person, but his revelation to and through Paul, the chief of sinners. It was on the road to Damascus that Saul first saw the glorified Lord and heard those words ineffably tender, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But not only did the Lord reveal himself to Saul from heaven, he revealed himself to the world through Paul. Galatians 1:12, he says he got his message by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not a revelation from, oh no, no, the revelation of Jesus Christ to him. He saw Christ and talked with him. But in verses 15 and 16 he says, it pleased God to reveal his Son, that is to others, to reveal his Son in me. What a revelation to the world. When God saved Saul, his bitter, blaspheming enemy, he did it to show that he wanted men to be reconciled to him, that he loved him, that he wanted to have mercy upon all. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7 and 8 we read, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his revelation in judgment. But in 1 Timothy 1:16 he says, howbeit, now this is Paul, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth the same word, reveal all long-suffering for a pattern to those who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This is why in Galatians 1:15 and 16 he says, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Paul was both the revelator and the living demonstration of the exceeding riches of the love and grace of Christ. You see the difference then? Between the revelation of Jesus Christ in glory and judgment, as we find it in the last book of the Bible, and the revelation of Jesus Christ through Paul, the chief of sinners saved by grace, as we find it right here in this letter to the Galatians. God's beloved Son had been rejected, but God was loath to send him back immediately in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Postponing the day of judgment, he revealed him instead in matchless grace through the conversion and the ministry of the chief of sinners. Now that Saul had seen Christ and tasted of the riches of his grace, he was a new man. Even before God, he was a new man, for God no longer saw him as the wicked blasphemer and murderer, but he saw him now in Christ, who had taken his place at Calvary. And not only was Paul in Christ, but Christ was in Paul. They've exchanged places, as they were, or they have merged, as it were. He says, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ in grace. Christ once died in Paul's stead. Now Paul stands in Christ's stead, pleading with sinners, be reconciled to God. It's as if he said, Christ couldn't be here. You didn't want him. You set away with him, and he went back to heaven, a royal exile. But I'm here in his place, an ambassador of grace. Now then, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. This is doubtless what Paul had in mind when he said to the Colossians, I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind, or that which still remains, of the afflictions of Christ. Now, Christ's vicarious suffering was over. That was done, gloriously done. But he was still despised and rejected, and is today. And he chose to remain rejected, remain in exile, rather than judge this wicked world. But looking down from his glory in heaven, he said to the chief persecutor, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And from then on, Saul the persecutor was converted. He had seen and talked with Christ himself. He knew that he was indeed the Son of God raised from the dead. And now the persecutor became Saul the persecuted, but he bore it gladly to show forth the grace of the rejected Christ. He called it the fellowship of his sufferings, the filling up of that which still remained of the afflictions of Christ. According to 1 Timothy 1:13-16, Paul was God's pattern, it says, for believers in this age of grace. Paul, the new man in Christ, reminds us of the one new man God is now forming, the body of Christ. One new man formed of reconciled Jews and Gentiles. Read it in Ephesians 2:14-16. Paul is the pattern. Like Paul, we stand before God in Christ, complete in him, accepted in the Beloved One, because he died in our place. And as we believers stand before God in Christ, so Christ stands before the world in us. As we pray, or should pray, men in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. And so God still reveals his Son to this world through sinners saved by grace. Our blessed Lord is still rejected, but we're glad for the fellowship of his sufferings and rejoice to fill up that which still remains of the afflictions of Christ, since it shows, every day of grace shows, the wonders of his mercy and love. These are dark days. Thousands of God's children are wondering how near may be the rapture of the church and the end of the dispensation of grace, and then the world's great tribulation, and then the revelation of Jesus Christ in judgment to put down this rebellion with a rod of iron. These are the questions we cannot answer. We don't know when. We can only praise God for the revelation of grace, or I should say, the revelation of Jesus Christ in grace, and seek earnestly to win the lost for him while there's still time. Now, our time is going, but let's go to verse 16. He says, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, everybody could point to Paul and say, you know what he used to be? He was the chief of sinners. He led his nation and the world in rebellion against Christ. He dragged men and women to Jerusalem to the courts and had them put to death for believing on Christ and preaching Him. And He Himself said, when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. Well, in verse 16 it says, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, or the Gentiles. The word is ethnos, the word is among the nations. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He did not immediately confer with human beings, with other Christians. Now that's what I would have done. If I had just been saved, I surely would have sought out the fellowship of other believers. I would have asked them as much as I could about the Bible and about Christ and heaven and hell. I would have wanted to learn all I could, and I, being one of them, I would have wanted to be with them. But Paul says, that's what I didn't do. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and then, it's clear, after some 3 years, returned again to Damascus. He wasn't an understudy of the 12. This is another proof of it. As soon as he was saved, you'd think he'd made a beeline to Jerusalem, to the 12 apostles, and have said to them, I see it now. Oh no, he was not their understudy. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself had appeared to him and told him what to preach, and it was different from what the 12 had been preaching. They preached with the coming of Christ in view. They preached the gospel of the kingdom, even after His crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. Peter said, if you repent, God will send him back, and the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. But not so Paul. Paul didn't say, if you repent, God will send Jesus down here. He said, if you'll believe, God will take you up there. And the very theme of the Pauline epistles is the heavenly calling of believers. So he says, I didn't immediately go to Jerusalem, to the 12 apostles. I went into the deserts of Arabia, as it were, to be alone with God. He had His own particular message to preach given to Him by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that's why he says in Romans 16, verse 25, now unto Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Some people stumble over that. Three times he speaks of my gospel. And many times, that gospel which I preach, and the gospel which was preached of me, and that gospel which you heard of me, and so on. He's always talking about my gospel. Now, if I ever preach to you, if I ever mention over these microphones my gospel, I hope you'll turn your radio off immediately and conclude that it is spurious. But Paul could say this, for God had given him a special revelation. Now let me go on. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. How wonderful. That's what he's talking about in Ephesians, the third chapter, as it begins, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, you of the nations, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, or how by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. He was dispensing grace, and so are we. We tell you that by grace you're saved, through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should buy.